Pod Culture is a podcast that's recorded every other week, split into two parts, and then sent down the podcast feed each week. If you've missed the first half of this show, don't worry. Head back to the website, www.podculture.net, and grab the first half. And now, on with the second half of Pod Culture.
Previously on Pod Culture.
Am I going to have to separate you two?
She started it.
Nuh-uh. Don't make me come over there.
I'm telling.
Welcome to Pod Culture.
Welcome.
The multi-part Pod Culture.
Woo. Because
you found another part.
We're a mini-series.
At this point, we're a maxi-series, it seems like. But yes, you have found a piece of a multi-part episode of Pod Culture. If you missed a previous one, don't worry, because there's not a lot of to-be-continued content.
No.
Continent? Content.
And we tend to repeat ourselves quite a bit, so you're not going to miss anything.
And we repeat ourselves a lot, too.
Uh-huh.
So,
and we repeat ourselves?
Yes.
Totally.
Awesome.
Several times, over and over. But if you missed it, go back to the website, podculture.net.
You'll be lost in awesomeness.
And you'll find the other parts. So, I'm Brad.
I'm Christina.
And I'm Adam.
And we're on with the rest of the show.
Hello, I'm here with my friend Carl. Oh yeah, Carl's a zombie. We're here to tell you about the Zombie Channel at www.zombiechannel.com. Yes, yes, Carl, I was just getting to that. At the Zombie Channel, you'll discover exciting zombie entertainment, zombie video, zombie audio, and zombie news and information from all around the globe. So visit the Zombie Channel at www.zombiechannel.com. Yes, Carl, I'm sure they'll bring their brains.
Get out your tokens, get out some quarters, it's time to talk about some games.
Or your mice. Can I go first? Because mine is going to be lame compared to your all.
Well, how about in the middle, and then you can average it out?
Okay.
You can be like the lame sandwich. Sandwich or lame. No, go ahead. What you got?
No, I like to play computer games.
Okay.
They're
and
fun.
I've recently confiscated your Puzzle Quest game for the DS.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to be talking about it one day at work, and my friend Tess said, "Have you played Puzzle Hero?" I'm like, "No. What is this you speak?" And it's just like Puzzle Quest, only on the computer.
You say Puzzle Hero, and I'm thinking, okay, there's jigsaw pieces coming down the screen,
no,
and you've
no.
got to put them together in time.
It's a like match three. It's like a turn-based, kind of like a turn-based role-playing game,
yeah.
but with the match three in between.
Mm-hmm.
And you match the three hats, and that ups your
special
magic level, and you up your swords, and that'll up,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's a lot like Puzzle
And then you
Quest.
Have to keep swapping out your sword and your shield mm-hmm. and your armor and stuff.
Yeah, that sounds from what little I played Puzzle Quest.
I've played it quite a bit lately.
Yes, I know. That's okay. That's cool.
And the thing that I've learned most this week is that try to play games you wouldn't normally think that are your type, because
mm-hmm.
you just might like them, because
right.
I would have never thought to pick up that game.
And that's why
I... And just totally randomly, I started to play. I'm like,
try something new.
This is great. Yeah, try something you didn't think you'd like, because you just might.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why I picked up Grand Theft Auto. And
that's true.
But a little bit, it's been okay. I haven't been a thrill with it, but it's not my kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know that until
but
you try.
But you don't know that until you try it.
Exactly.
That's kind of like the Gamefly thing. That's why that's cool, because you can try stuff. That
yeah. Mm-hmm. And we may have to look into doing that. If some listener wants to sponsor us, no, or Gamefly, you want to sponsor us?
We're
we'll
kidding.
Pimp you the hell out of you. But I have actually picked up another game.
What game is that, Brad?
For the Wii.
Oh.
Wii.
believe it or not, because we hadn't played with the Wii in a little. Okay, that just did not sound right, did it? The Nintendo game system that is known as the Wii has not been activated.
Brad hasn't played with his Wii in a while.
No, I got a girlfriend.
I was going to say Wii with two eyes, but that doesn't make it any better, does it? No.
It's just a peeping Tom. But I picked up one. I listened to a gaming podcast called Orange Lounge Radio.
Just listen to it because they're funny.
They're hilarious, and they've got a lot of great gaming content.
They do.
You find out about stuff.
They're so knowledgeable, but even if you don't understand half the stuff they're talking about, just listening to them talk is a riot. So tune in.
It is hilarious. But they were talking about this game for the Wii, and it sounded interesting because they described it as a cross between a side-scrolling shooter game and Katamari.
I loved Katamari.
Which I'm going,
even though
that's
I can't
an interesting
play.
Combination.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I got to check this out. Because I heard him talk about it a little bit, and just that one line description that I think it was Loki had said it. And I'm like, I got to find it. So I went looking for it, and I found it. And
it was a little hard to find. A lot of places were sold out.
A little bit, yes. Or just didn't carry it. Mm-hmm. Like Walmart doesn't carry it in store. You can only get it online.
Seems like Walmart only carries like the top 20 most popular games.
I ended up getting it from Best Buy, which is good because I get points for it. And got a game called Blastworks. And it's really simplistic looking. The graphics are good, and it is. It's a side-scrolling shooter game, and you've got this little ship that flies, and you shoot, of course, shoot your enemies. And when they blow up, pieces fall, and you can intercept them with your ship. And however they fall on your ship, they can become part of your ship. So if they've got a weapon that falls, you catch it, and it starts firing in whatever patterns. But you can't control how they land or where they land on your ship, so they can be pointing in any direction that you need.
Huh.
And as you go through, your ship keeps getting bigger and bigger. Well, the drawback is that makes you a bigger target.
Yeah. Huh.
And really interesting.
So hopefully your guns are
hard.
I was say, hopefully the guns are pointing the right way when you're being.
Yeah. And if you can get it, you can get it and do some right stuff.
Sounds pretty cool, though.
And there's a very extensive level and ship editor that I really haven't focused on a lot. But you can trade levels and ships with your friends if you know their Wii code and crap. Because Nintendo, while they may pretty much be winning the console, where I think their numbers are right up there, and they had a less start than some of them, it's their online sucks balls.
Mm-hmm.
Dirty donkey balls.
No.
And it's horrible.
God.
It's kludgy, and as bad as the PlayStation 3's is, the Nintendo Wii's is worse.
Wow.
I've only seen the PlayStation 3 once, because how many times have we fired it up since we bought it? Twice.
No, closer to about half a dozen.
Mm.
Now,
only to watch Blu-ray stuff.
Yeah. But it's still...
That's true.
It is the...
I know.
One of the cheapest, but it's the best for the price, Blu-ray player.
I just like
good
to
value.
Far.
I mean, yeah.
Because...
The game player.
Yeah, your Blu-ray players are about that much. And they don't have as many features, so why not spend? I think there are cheaper Blu-ray players, but they're not by much. So go ahead and spend the extra $50.
This one can be upgraded easily.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. Because most of the Blu-ray players out there, they're constantly changing the specs on, and it's real simple to do that when you have a Blu-ray player with a hard drive.
I like the ducky game.
The duck game.
The duck game on the PS3. Like, the only time I ever touched it since we bought it, there's a stupid little ducky game.
Yeah, it's a...
it's cute.
It's like a little duck pond, almost.
It's stupid, but it's cute.
It doesn't really use the normal control scheme.
No, it's
It
hard.
Uses the
tilt.
Accelerometer
the
tilt function.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Which, when you think about it, it's good practice for all your other games. Like, if you're totally unfamiliar with that kind of, you know... the motion, it's a good practice. I think it's cool.
I know
you don't like it.
There's not a lot of games out that appeal to me. I know the big Metal Gear Solid 4 came out.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really my kind of thing. I tried. I got Resistance Fall of Man.
Mm-hmm.
Tried it. It's one of those things. I got it. It was like $30 when I got it, so it didn't spend a great deal of money.
Now, can I ask a stupid question?
Sure.
You cannot play online with somebody... If your other person has a PS2, you cannot play online with them when you have a PS3. Boom.
No.
Okay.
No. You cannot you cannot do can't do that.
I'm trying to find a way to play Guitar Hero with my brother so he can kick ass and do
he
good
needs
things.
To get his head out of his ass and get a Xbox 360 and do that. I will buy him the game.
And I told him I'd buy him the yearly
the Xbox Live
subscription fee. Yeah,
yeah,
because it's and that's why Xbox is the best on that because you're paying a little bit for it. It's really it's pretty much the price of a game. Mm-hmm. You buy one game a year that mm-hmm. pays for your Xbox,
and you can play with your friends,
and you can download all kinds of demos and crap too.
Oh, it's awesome! Yeah.
And so you know, I've got 30 gigs filled up my 120 gig hard drive. I got the black one. It looks cool.
That is
spinning is so one. Much cooler than not spinning.
It was a freaking cool ass game system. But getting back to Blastworks for the Wii, it is fun. It is very fun, but it is extremely hard, especially for one that looks like a kind of a kiddie game. Mm-hmm. Really, really hard.
If you have any kind of anxiety or attention problem, mute the game. Mute the game and play without the music. Because I'm on the computer and I'm listening to him play and I'm getting tenser and tenser as the music is going faster and faster.
Yeah, it's a little crazy. But have you played any games here?
Yeah, I've been. Me and my buddies have been on the weekends getting together, getting all our computers together over at my house and playing a mod for Half-Life 2 called Zombie Master. And this is a pretty cool mod.
Mm-hmm.
It allows you. It's got custom levels.
Okay.
It allows your group to play. It's essentially survival.
Okay.
Each level has an objective, whether it's survive for 10 minutes or go find parts and assemble a truck, but. There's always one player, and it can rotate, one player who is the zombie master, or for the geeks out there, the DM.
The ZM.
Who controls the zombies, or rather controls where they spawn throughout the level. And the zombie master's objective is to prevent the survivors, the other players, from achieving their objective. And they've got different zombies that they can use and utilize that cost a certain amount of resource points. So the zombie master is a little bit handicapped there, so he can't just spawn hundreds of zombies.
Game over.
Yeah.
Game over, man. Game over.
But it's a lot of fun because it's just this. It's also it's scary. Like some of the zombies themselves are just freaky.
Tell them about the floater. So, they scared me.
Yeah, the floater. There are these particular class of zombies that float. And they're zombies that they don't have any limbs.
Oh, wait a minute. You just called them a floater?
Stop it.
Yeah.
Float. No,
okay.
Stop it.
Okay. They're actually called drifters.
All
right. And they drift around because they're called drifters. No. and they don't have any arms or legs, but they look like they have like arm-like bones sticking out of them, and they look like they've been flayed. And like their skin's all charred and burnt, and their heads are like they're almost like bobbleheads, but they're flipping around and looking and just
zombies with Parkinson's.
Yeah, they're coming towards you.
I don't like it.
Yeah, and they're freaky and they scare me.
Well, but tell me if the zombies attack, we're going to Glenn's house.
Yeah.
Okay, Glenn's old house.
No, it'll be his house. Okay. It depends on, I guess, if he's allowed to have them at that new house.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
Oh, the ammunition is at Glenn's house. The objective is to get to Glenn's house before the zombies
come. From the old
gone.
House to the new house, that'll be one of the missions.
I've got a buddy that we can go.
Okay.
So, yeah. All right.
Okay, good. We'll be okay.
But,
I've got a two-bladed axe.
It's a lot of fun. I got a few swords.
I got one floating around there somewhere.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun because it's scary and it's a good land game because you'll always be mad at someone, usually the zombie master himself, because they're trying to prevent you from.
He's the one snickering over in the corner.
Exactly. And he enjoys it too much. But it is fun being the zombie master, too, and just spawning zombies throughout the
board. So you can spawn them anywhere you
Well, there are certain points throughout the board, strategic points throughout the board that you can that you actually spawn the zombies. There's also traps too that you can set, and you can also trigger traps, like have a container fall on someone or knock a bunch of boxes off the top shelf and or release like preset zombies that are there.
Oof.
So yeah, it's pretty cool.
I think playing it enough, I'd have nightmares.
Yeah.
I can't get away from the zombie.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Speaking of zombies, we saw that, was it on the BB, when we were watching Jekyll, there's a preview.
Yes. Okay, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Usually the promos on the BBC DVDs are all posh and pretty and fantastic.
And we actually had this movie. I didn't know it.
Flight of the Living Dead Outbreak on a Plane.
Yeah.
At 30,000 feet.
Outbreak on a plane.
Zombies.
The catch line is, at 30,000 feet, there's nowhere to run.
Nowhere to run.
And the picture on the
you
cover
can jump out.
On the back
parachute.
Looks like a reaver.
Yeah, it was one of those cheap
at
the redneck feeding trough movies.
Yeah, I kind of want to see. Which what the hell is it doing on a BBC DVD?
I have no freaking clue.
But I'm kind of curious.
It was a region one. It may have been a thing with the distributor.
That's
or something.
That's true. Okay, good. I feel better now.
It's like, a New Line thing, though, isn't it? Yeah.
IGN and New Line.
Wow, quality.
So, Zombie Master, huh?
Yes.
Zombie Master. I have
good
to
stuff.
Look
I highly recommend it if you have like Half-Life 2 and stuff.
Are
like
there
that.
Screenshots and stuff?
I'm sure there are.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a website out there.
Okay, I have to go look. And
sure what it is.
And you freaked out.
Yeah.
There
are Hulks, too. They're like real tall zombies that are like really hard to kill. But, yeah.
Kick him in the kneecap.
Yeah, I wish.
Zombie Man's got nards.
Go on. Say it, Brad. Do it.
What?
You're lying. Punch him in the junk.
Punch him in the junk. Yes, and we own punchyouinthejunk.com.
Did you really?
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my Lord. Wow.
Why the hell name it was $6 at GoDaddy? Look, it's crazy.
I can only see the high-caliber website that will grace that name.
Oh, no. That's just something where you make a page of YouTube, you know, crotch shot videos, and you just put it punchinthejunk.com. Right now, it's just pointing back to pod culture.
Remember how on earth that started. But coming out of a man's mouth, it's just the funniest thing in the universe.
It started because, you know, I listened to the Slice of Sci-Fi live stream, and one of the regulars on there, Crazy Joe, he just started to say, Brian, I guess Brian said something, and he's just like, I'm going to punch you in the junk.
No, but
and it just kind of took off because it's so damn ridiculous.
No, but
and so one day,
from a man, it's just funny. Like, woman says it to another woman, you know, I punched him in the junk. Okay, that's not very funny, but coming from a man, it's funny.
Yeah, it just become a running gag on there. So one day during the live feed, I'm like, I wonder if that's available.
Oh, God.
Oh shit, it is. Punchyouinthejunk.com. So I had to get it. But
sorry.
I've picked up some more games. Actually, I've picked up a whole new gaming platform.
It's awfully spiffy looking.
Yes, it is. I very have shiny. Recently purchased an iPod Touch.
Hooray, I'm jealous.
Which is kick-ass. It all started out because, you know, the whole hoopla with the iPhone coming out. Back a couple of months ago,
Needy geek. That's how it started.
No kidding. One of the guys on my Twitter had mentioned that he was going to get it and offered to sell his old one. Which I'm like, okay, cool. I'm about that. And it was relatively an expensive price. So he and I agreed on a price. And I guess a couple of weeks later, I guess, he emailed saying, you know, his brother needs a phone or one of his friends needs a phone. So he got it back out of it. And I'm like, okay, you know, you got to take care of your friends, your family. They come first. I'm cool with that. So, but in the meantime, I had been researching and they had all these apps coming out. So I was out during lunch. When I leave work at lunch, it's usually costly.
And then I get a phone call.
Yeah. And I had to go into one of the local pawn shops in there. There's like three or four of them not too far from work. And they had an iPod Touch. So I asked him if I could see it, and I was looking at it, and I asked him how much it was, and he said it was like X number of dollars. I'm like, oh, that's probably the 8 gig, because it seemed kind of cheap. You know, because I looked at it, and it had one of those silicone skin protector things on there. And I looked at the back, and it said 16 gig. So I'm like, here you go.
Nice.
So I got that, and I hacked it as soon as I got home that night. And then just this week, they launched the App Store for iTunes and the 2.0 software, which adds a lot of functionality to the iPod Touch. Because you can download games and get on the net and all kinds of fun crap. But I've got a Twitter thing. I've got games. I've got a game that's kind of like Simon. Simon Says. It's a little pattern recognition game. I got one that's kind of like Breakout. I got an air hockey game.
Awesome.
Which is kind of cool. It's a pain in the ass to control, but it's kind of cool.
I'm sure.
One called Aurora Faint, which is a lot like Puzzle Quest in some ways. Very similar to Puzzle Quest in a lot of ways. I got Blip Solitaire, which is kind of like Pong, but there's only one of you. You've only got one little pad, but it goes around in a circle. So when you hit it, it starts traveling in a line, and you've got to circle your little pad to the other side of the line and intercept it.
Huh.
It's kind of cool. There's a game called Advent, which apparently is a text type adventure game. I haven't played that yet, but it was free. Cube Runner, which is
you and my mom would get along so well. I don't know what I'll do with
too
it,
bad
but
she
it was
doesn't
great.
Like me.
She likes you just fine.
Then there is a game called Cube Runner, which uses the accelerometer functions, and you've got a little cube that you kind of got to guide by tilting the iPod through this little maze or area. What else do I have on here?
I like Shakespeare.
Yeah, that's one of the apps. Not a game, but it's one of the apps.
I kind
of
stole it
There's
from
There's one that's essentially a ripoff of Kinect 4. Then they got a couple of web apps. I got a dice poker game. And then, let's see what else. I bought a Mahjong game.
Yay!
It was like $2. No big deal.
I love Mahjong.
Haven't played with it too much yet, but it looks cool. And then I got one called Tap Tap Revenge.
Tap Tap.
And it is like pretty good. It's a rhythm music game that you tap the thing. They don't have a lot of songs yet.
No wonder he doesn't want me to play with it. I'd never give it back to him.
Yeah, pretty much. Panera Bread, she was...
You didn't tell me you had the complete works of Shakespeare on there. I
yes,
got
I
excited.
Did.
Not until just now.
No, I told you the day when I got them.
Well, I was angry.
Well, they have Crash Bandicoot Racing.
Yes, they do. They do have some arcade games, but they're like $10 a pop.
Are they?
I'm kind of curious how Pac-Man would go, how that would work if it's the accelerometer or you're guiding Pac-Man around with your finger.
That'd be interesting.
But I got one called B-Cells, which is it's a puzzle kind of game. Let me show it up here. It's like $5, so I get it. But you start out, you got these colored dots in kind of like a honeycomb type of thing. And you've got to, basically the object is to get, I think, 5 or 6 of them grouped together. Like most of your typical puzzle type of games. But every time you hit a color that you want to start, and it starts, tap the little color button, and you move it to another thing, and it travels there. But when it lands, 3 other ones show up randomly to kind of block you and drive you nuts. So it takes some strategy. But it is. It's kind of addicting,
Now, are
actually.
These transferable to your iPhone when you get your iPhone?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Because otherwise I'd have
not transferable. They just, whatever, when you sync up.
Oh, good.
Yeah, because...
See, I'd be very cross if this was not transferable.
Drew had updated Dawn's iPhone to the 2.0 and loaded some of the stuff that he had bought, and it sunk up and automatically put all... Oops,
ooh, okay.
His
microphone attacked him.
Yeah,
grand gestures.
When microphones attack.
But, yeah, apparently it does. I haven't tried it because I've only got the one. I also have an app on here that's the most ridiculous app that I've come up with, and it's kind of gaming related. It's called Dice Bag.
Dice Bag. Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, and it's basically a computer generated set of the typical gaming dice, so you can select what you need to roll.
Oh my gosh, Dice Bag.
Yeah, so if I wanted to type one of the D8s here, It just pops up a random number.
Wow.
Or that's like, okay, combinations, you know, okay, three, combination 12.
What are we going to do for lunch today? Okay, boom.
Yeah, it's
I want
hilarious.
A Magic 8-Ball app.
They have one.
Do they?
they I haven't seen it, but it's one that sounds like it's not called Magic 8-Ball. It's like Fortune Teller or
awesome.
Something like that.
That's what I want.
But I think there is one. I'll have to go in and look.
That's awesome.
It's a paid app, so I didn't pay any attention to
it. Oh, don't worry about it then.
But yeah, what Christina mentioned earlier, two other apps are not really gaming related, but they're kind of cool.
They're geeky to me.
There is a thing on there, and it's a free download. It's the Complete Works of William Shakespeare in like an ebook reader format.
I was having a spaz attack at Panera Bread.
I mean, it is really cool.
Damn cool. All the sonnets, like you click on sonnets and it's got them all, you know, alphanumerically. It's fantastic.
And
where
it's
was
a,
that when I was in school?
And it's a damn nice screen, too.
It is nice.
It is awesome. And then, I know not all of our listeners would be interested in, but I thought this was cool. We've got the Bible. It's a free app download, but it's not just the Bible, but it's all the different books. Versions of the Bible.
See, that's cool. I told them I want the Aramaic version.
Let's see, here we go.
That'd be so awesome, just for my historical.
But yeah, perspective. I mean, you can just search by verse or pages or whatever.
That's so neat.
And then, yeah, here we go. Versions.
So
it's got like the American Standard, the Amplified Bible, Contemporary English, English Standard, King James, New American Standard, Century Version, New King James, New International, The Message, Word English. Oh, it's got it in Spanish. Yeah, it's good. There's all kinds of crap on here.
See, now, when there's always that one person who quotes the Bible just to be an ass.
Yeah.
And you know it doesn't sound quite right. Mm-hmm. So now you can just go, bleep, this is what it really says.
Or they take it out of context.
Yes.
And I got a couple other. One app I downloaded that is, it might have been 99 cents, either free or 99 cents. Either way, I don't care. Really, man. It's called Morris It.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. It's a Morris code
app.
I can
if you're lost.
I can type in a screen.
Uh-huh.
Type in a text message, hit play,
and it'll flash.
It'll start flashing.
Oh, that's awesome.
So if we're lost in the woods,
yeah, it's just then I got
assuming
another
the person on the receiving end knows Morse code as well.
And I've got another app called Flashlight. All
just
that
turns
does
it white.
You're kidding me.
Screen. Oh, it freaking crashed. I need to update that one. See what else I got. Another app called Banner Free. Let's do here. And why is that one crashed? I got to sync it, I guess.
It's tired.
It was working earlier.
Because it's tired.
But it's a version of one of those LED scrolling banners.
Oh.
Yeah, you can program in a message there and it'll just scroll along your
iPod. Oh. Remember, people had those at Dragon Con last year as their name tags.
Yeah, but you can
just
hit
scrolling
that
banners. That's cool.
And then I also got, you know, your typical PDA type app.
Solitaire.
Like Twitter. Actually, I don't have Solitaire. I need to buy that. I had Solitaire when I had it hacked.
Oh, okay.
And
when you had the
updated the software, it undid all that stuff. But, I mean, I can get my email on here. But it's got news.
And of course, the internet. News.
It's got a Facebook app, Twitter app, very cool weather app called Weatherbug.
Ooh, really the thing neat. You don't put on your computer because it will suck up your everything.
Yeah. Adware.
But hey, it's not going to bother anything here too much. And then there's an app called Tuner. Tuner is awesome because it's essentially lets you listen to internet radio streams. And you can program in stuff.
Sorry. Got a little excited there.
we'll get you an iPhone.
That's the function of my PSP serves now as a internet radio.
That's so awesome. Wait, internet radio or like radio stations?
Internet radio stations. So let's. But I mean, you can find
OLR or like.
Yeah, well, like OLR, but there's all they also AOL puts out like 90s music or 80s music channel or this. But I mean, you can find damn near anything that you want.
Okay.
Like, I can listen to the Farpoint live stream on here using that app.
See, now, and you were so upset that you might have to work on Saturdays, and now you'll be okay.
Yeah, now that, well, no, I'd have to have an iPhone for that because they don't have a wireless access
wireless
point at work.
Oh.
Or they do, you just can't access it because I took the PSP there and tried.
Yeah,
one time. But it's got a YouTube app, but I took that all the way back because, yeah.
A lady I work with thought she could bring her laptop to work and access the Wi-Fi.
Fail.
Do you not understand that we had to sign away our firstborn and give blood so we could have access to the information that we have? They're not going to let you on the internet here.
And then finally, what is, it's not a game. Of course, I haven't talked about games for a while on here yet. But it is the neatest app and also the freakiest damn app. It's called Remote.
Oh,
yes.
It is neat.
It is really cool because you download it to your iPhone or your iPod Touch. And, of course, you activate it. And you sync your iPod up with your computer. And it gives you a little 4-digit code on your iPod. Well, you go to your device listing in iTunes. You click it. And it'll ask for that same 4-digit code. You type that in. It syncs the two. You can unhook your iPod or your iPhone from your computer and control your iTunes app with your iPhone or your iPod Touch.
I heard him giggling. I was playing my Puzzle Hero game the other night, and I hear him giggling maniacally. I'm like, ooh, what did he find? And I come in here, and he's standing by the door, pressing the buttons to play the music. That's so cool.
Yeah, I can walk into the living room and
press the button
and play
awesome.
And go to another song or whatever.
I'm all for the inclusive remote control.
It is very, very awesome. Very, very cool. I'm not quite sure how it does that.
I don't want to know.
Yeah. It might use something like Windows Media.
I guess there's some kind of thing where just,
type
yeah.
thing. Or some type, IP tunnel.
I guess it has to have something going over your Wi-Fi connection to do that. But that's cool as shit.
Wouldn't it be like the same kind of way like the wireless headphones?
Because you have to have a receiver on that, and there's no receiver actually on my computer that syncs.
Your whole computer's a receiver, though, when you think about it.
But there's no.
For your thing,
right? But if I'm disconnected from the computer, it's not getting the information on there.
I'm just sorry your cool thing is breaking.
Yeah, I bought a hard plastic case, of course, as a protector. And, of course, it's one of those cheap import type things. The color of it's cool because it's kind of this clear green, which, for me, I kind of like to think
green.
That
he likes green.
Yeah, it's green.
Green's good.
And they really
it looks like ring energy from a Green Lantern.
And there really wasn't a whole lot to choose from at the store, which was kind of surprising because they have 18 billion little containers for the nanos.
Mm-hmm.
And
regular iPods.
Yeah, but nothing for these.
But
these are
still relatively new.
Yeah, but how hard is it to make another color plastic? Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but apparently they did. It's cool. But when the clip is a very kind of thin plastic, so it's kind of already worn. I've only had it a couple of weeks. So I guess when it breaks, I'll just take the clip off, and it'll be a nice little plastic shell for it, and I'll get a leather belt holder or something. Just to put the iPod in there. It's cool. I like it. And I like it so much I want to get an iPhone now. So I will probably wind up selling this to somebody.
I was training.
I'll buy it.
I was training a new girl at work.
We'll talk. All right.
And I get this email from Brad about wanting to trade his iPod Touch that he just bought.
Yeah, I've only had it for a couple of weeks.
For an iPhone. And I'm making...
They can hear the clenched teeth, dear.
I'm so going to kick him. And poor Monica's like, what? I'm like, no, you don't understand.
She's going to punch me in the junk.
Seriously. Because all I heard about was he had to have an iPod Touch. Oh, my God. It was the coolest thing in the universe. And then a few weeks later, now this is the coolest thing in the universe.
I thought, okay, it's going to be a great... trade-off to instead of getting an iPhone. I wasn't going to get the iPhone. And then I started playing and realized all the potential of this and went, holy shit, this is awesome.
Dragon Con is coming.
I know.
I like how we all...
Dear. my contract. I can't even renew my stuff till November anyway.
That's the one thing that lets me sleep at night.
Believe me, I'm trying to think of a way around it.
He is. And I'm like, oh, Dragon Con is coming. And I like how you try to rationalize, which sometimes I do it too, rationalize things for Dragon Con. Well, if we have this at Dragon Con, I can Twitter my friends. And la la la. I'm like, it also has a phone. You can just use your phone to call your friends.
Well, yeah, but I can reach more people at the same time with Twitter.
It's funny. It's just the rationalization. Like, I'm going to get a tattoo for Dragon Con. No. No.
We've known people like that.
Well, people are nuts.
Damn.
Like, I'm gonna shave my head for Dragon Con. No.
I've known a few people that.
You don't do a very expensive or very damaging thing for 4 days.
I'll do that.
Edwin's.
Little Nair.
Oh, God, no. I think you'd be smelling that for the rest of your life. Yeah, it would be
bad. Yeah, but I'm a geek. I like shiny things,
and this is
a great gaming platform.
And just for spite, I want to buy one too. I'm like, God damn it! He always gets the cool thing, and I always suck it up and get the cheap thing to save some money. I might buy one too. God damn it!
But you started playing with it and go. You start and realize how freaking cool that it is.
Shakespeare, yeah. But I'm like, how often do I use my other stuff?
But then again, it was the Shakespeare after she went. And I didn't get it the rest of the time we were at Panera.
Yeah, bull crap. Yes, you did. Don't lie to our listeners.
When we walked out.
No. But, because if I'm going to be having to, if we're going to have to be spending extra money anyway on a phone plan for me, because I would like to be able to get my phone calls.
It's a little crazy. Mm. So, all right. Well, I think we're going to wrap up our Geek and Tech. Geek and Tech?
Geek and Tech.
And we will be back with more of Pod Culture right after I recharge the battery on the iPod.
Yeah.
This Geek and Tech.
And if he finds a way around that contract thing before Dragon Con, somebody's going to die.
Brad, my name is Kurt Von Boss. I usually call in to Slice of Sci-Fi and the Babylon podcast as Kurt and St. George. I largely agree with what you said about JMS and his negotiations, or lack thereof, over the Lost Tales. I think that what some of the people who've disagreed with you don't seem to understand is that JMS isn't negotiating any longer. His My Way or the Highway announcement hasn't drawn a line in the sand. It's essentially buried Babylon 5 under the sand. One of the things that annoys me about his announcement is he hasn't had the guts to tell the fans this fact. Now, if JMS had announced that there was an impasse in negotiations with Warner Brothers, that he wasn't sure if he was going to get the budget he needed to do the next Lost Tales, that would be different. That would be showing you a person who's still negotiating, even if he said, I don't know if I'll ever be able to make another one. But Mr. Straczynski's announcement makes it clear he has bigger fish to fry now. He doesn't need Warner Brothers or apparently the Babylon 5 fans any longer. Personally, I'm not going to boycott his future projects, but I'm not going to go out of my way to support them either.
When you've been geeking a while like we have, it is time to recharge your batteries.
It's and how do exhausting. We recharge our batteries?
With Geek Cuisine. Bon appetit.
What?
Bon appetit.
Bon appetit.
Bon appetit.
Thank you, Danny. If she still listens to the show.
I hope you still listen, Danny, because you are one of my few friends that likes Donna better than everybody else.
Donna must die.
Donna, no.
Donna Noble must die.
No.
Yep, she did, sort of.
Whatever, you're full of crap.
Open
the candy bread.
Okay, before I can get into the scat humor, okay. All right, we have candy cigarettes.
Yay!
Well, all right, they're called candy sticks.
Yeah.
But it's been years and years and years and years since I had anything like this.
You're
candy.
Kidding.
Death yeah, sticks.
Pretty much.
Death sticks.
Death sticks.
No, see, but, my mom and I used to get them all the time.
You know, with all the summer movies coming out, I saw these over at the dollar store, so they're probably made in China.
No, they weren't.
And have lead.
They were somewhere else.
No, these were at dollar store.
Were they?
Yeah. No, you had to sit in the car.
Oh.
Because you were bad.
with the windows rolled up.
Oh, hey, these are not made in China. These were made in the USA
we're
in Brooklyn,
right.
New York. Woo-hoo. Which Lord knows what they put in them in Brooklyn.
Oh, stop. Yep. No, we love New York.
No sleep till Babylon. Okay, here we go. We got Invincible Iron Man and Incredible Hulk candy sticks.
Will they make me invincible?
Probably not.
Darn.
As long as they don't make me green, we'll be all right.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Can I? We were picking on you at the restaurant.
Oh, when I get up, that's what y'all were cackling about. Then.
I said, I hope they don't make him cranky.
Because they don't make Brad angry.
Oh, that is so weak. You get two in a box. Weak.
Let's get everybody here, one of each one. Each one. Iron Man and each Hulk one, they're going to be the same damn thing.
Whatever.
I open the package like a rabid monkey.
Oh my God, she's going to be like, crap.
It looks like those.
And what's the name in Farscape? Rigel at Farscape in the Halloween episode.
Yes.
What is this, Dren?
I don't care what it costs. Give me
it
more.
It looks like. Miracle-Gro.
It really does. It looks like plant food. That you little things that you stick in your stick plants. In the pot.
My mom would be so happy.
Oh.
So let's see if these are as good as my childhood memories.
Oh,
here
yes,
we go.
They're wonderful.
They kind of like chalk.
They do not.
That's chalk. No.
Like sugar-flavored chalk.
Yep.
With a little hint of cardboard.
He's right. Yep.
I'm not going to say they taste like ass, but they taste like chalky cardboard. Chalky cardboard ass.
I'm eating a chalk stick.
Oh, God, what was his name in high school?
I had a
teacher that would eat chalk.
Yeah.
Huh?
He was a history teacher.
Would eat chalk or just like lick the dust off his hand?
I don't remember, but he was weird. He could never say my name right.
Weird.
How hard is Christina?
I was Christiana. I was Christy. I was every variation you could possibly think of, but my actual name.
Wow.
Hence the eating chalk.
Okay.
Chalk goes straight to your brain.
Christina, I think you can more than welcome have the rest of that bag.
Yay.
Yeah, here you go.
See, he at least finished the box. Yeah, I couldn't get past the
one.
No,
see, my mom and I used to get these all the time. We used to sit in the car and eat them.
These are
so we wouldn't have to share them with my brother.
It was cardboard. It had like it was like chalky.
They probably retained the taste of the box.
I do.
I fulfilled my chalk quota.
Yeah,
today.
Yeah,
yeah.
I won't
even
eat
Pepto Bismol tastes better.
Yeah,
than
even
that.
Even if it's pure sugar and stuff. I love sugar, but. Yeah, that was chalk.
You know why they're different? They don't have that little red bit at the end.
Oh, the red number 5 food going that probably caused, cancer and stuff or something?
I'm still good.
No sperm count.
I got a Sharpie. We can color the end for you.
The audience cannot see my face, but can you hear my eyes rolling?
Oh, I thought that was the rocks in her head.
No, it's chalk in my head.
The Invincible Iron Man and Incredible Hulk candy sticks, thumbs down all around.
Yuck.
Well, except for Christina, who's probably going to be bouncing off the walls here shortly.
Not all at once. They do have a bit of a chalky flavor.
Adam Smash. Sorry.
Adam Smash. Oh.
Oh.
All right. And on that note. We will be back as soon as we rinse this chalky taste out of our mouth, and I'm going to get me a big red.
Wow, I'm reading the ingredients.
Hi there. My name is Mer Lafferty, and last winter my superhero novel, Playing for Keeps, was the first book to be delivered via audio and PDF podcast at the same time. 20,000 people have enjoyed this novel. And now, it's coming out in print. Playing for Keeps will be published by Swarm Press this August 25th. Many of you helped this book become one of the most popular in podcast history, and I'd like your help again. I need to make a splash on Amazon to push my book up the charts and get more exposure. So I'm asking you to head to Amazon on August 25th to purchase Playing for Keeps. Don't think that since I'm hitting print, I'm forsaking the podcasting. During the month of August, I'll be celebrating the print release of Playing for Keeps with several treats. I'm reawakening stories of the third wave, bringing you content connected to the world of Playing for Keeps from hot names in podcasting, like Christopher Lester, Casey Schultz, Matthew Wayne Selznick, J.C. Hutchins, and Matt Wallace, just to name a few. I'm holding a video contest for the song Playing for Keeps, where contestants can win Swarm books, Beatnik Turtle CDs, or a flip video camera. Close to the launch of the book, I'll be re-releasing the PDF, along with all the original comic book art, styled by Jared Axelrod and Natalie Metzger, and an exclusive can't-find-anywhere-else short story called Parasite Awakens. And on the day of, the day when we do our assault on Amazon and make you all heroes of the 25th, you'll have frequent video updates from me letting you know how the book is doing and perhaps some messages from other podcasters. It should be very amusing. So go now to playingforkeepsnovel.com, right now, and subscribe to get the new content, the PDFs, and the video updates. And remember to go to amazon.com on August 25th to purchase the book. I can't do it without you.
I'm Brad.
I'm Glenn.
And I'm Christina.
Well, hold it a second here. Wait a minute. Who's this guy?
It's Glenn.
Yeah, I was sitting there. I was like, what's this thing in front of me? Oh, it's a microphone.
Yeah.
It's not stuff, Glenn. It's Glenn.
Back for the first time in a couple of months.
We missed Glenn.
I guess he paid his debt to society, and now he's out on parole.
Oh.
Yeah. No. Or actually, he's out on mortgage, I guess, now.
Yeah.
He has to check with his PO every now and then.
Or his loan officer.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
But we have, finally, for the first time in a while, a guilty pleasure for pod culture.
Yeah. I knew it was too good to go so long without some guilt.
That's right.
Well, yeah. You know, you guys are Catholic. You kind of have to have
it. I know.
So.
It creeps around every corner. You never know.
What do you have on tap for us?
Ooh, it's an amazing piece of work here.
Uh-oh.
Matthew Blackheart. Monster Smasher.
Okay.
Ever heard of it?
Yeah,
no.
You know what? Yeah, I think so.
You think so? Yeah.
I don't remember where or when, but it sounds familiar.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I seem to recall like commercials for this or something and wanting to see it, but having missed it. My guess, this is just a guess, my guess is that this must have been like a pilot for a TV series.
Yeah.
Probably USA, Sci-Fi Channel, one of those.
Something with no budget.
Yeah, one of those no budget things, definitely.
Because I think, I remember hearing it and thinking, okay, Monster Smasher, not Monster Hunter, not Monster Killer, Monster Smasher.
Monster Smasher.
And looking at the cover, it looks like a cross between G.I. Joe and the Punisher.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's, I don't know, it's kind of like a cross between Captain America, G.I. Joe, Indiana Jones,
okay,
and Ash from Army of Darkness. Yeah, with no budget. So.
Maybe you'll tell me when you ordered it.
That's probably
that could
it.
Be. Yeah.
Yeah, this was one on a short list of sale DVDs, you know, like under $9, and it was one of those, you know, buy two, get one free kind of thing.
Okay, so this was the free?
This was the free one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But, you know, I get anything comic book related.
Okay.
I've got some other bad comic book movies, and this joins the ranks.
And the bootleg of the Justice League pilot?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I wish I would have seen that.
We could probably arrange
that.
Yeah. Do that for a special guilty pleasure.
Uh-oh.
Well, Matthew Blackheart, it suffers from flashbacks within flashbacks kind of thing. It's kind of like they wrote the story and they had this idea how they wanted to tell it. Then they put this other flashback sequence around it or something like that.
Oh, kind of like Lost.
Yeah, kind of like
bit,
that.
A little bit, yeah.
Only in Lost now they flash forward, though. But
yeah, but they flash forward within flashbacks. And
right.
Yeah. Mm.
Ow.
So not the most streamlined movie ever. At the beginning, you would think that this character is like a comic character come to life or something. It's kind of the way they present it at the beginning of it.
Captain
but,
Hammer.
But it's Captain Hammer. But it's more like a real life character that they've made a comic book about.
Okay.
And that's the way it ends up being.
Like Major Victory.
Yeah. Much like that.
A winner. Not a wiener.
He was very nice.
Basically, it's a lot like the more or less unreleased Captain America movie.
Oh.
Yeah. Ouch. The Albert Pyun.
You know the coolest thing about that? The poster.
The poster, which I have, which is awesome. Yeah, he starts out, he's kind of like a Frankenstein's monster kind of character. There's, of course, a good guy, mad scientist, mm-hmm. who made him out of the remains of, like, five war heroes.
Ooh.
So he's got, like, Frankenstein monster scars on his chest, which is apparently an expensive effect, and they only show it once or twice. You know?
Oh, my.
So he has been made to fight this bad guy whose name now escapes me somehow. But
so he's Serpentor?
Yeah, he's kind of Serpentor. Yeah, actually. But like I said, he's more like Captain America in that he goes to fight his big arch nemesis and fails and gets captured, just like the old Captain America movie. I was like, you know, in the Captain America movie, couldn't they have shown a montage of how he was this big World War II hero, and then he finally fought the Red Skull and got defeated? You know, instead, they make it look like, you know, he's fresh out of the tubes and goes and fights his nemesis and loses. It's like he had no effect on World War II at all.
He was defective. Take the clone back.
Yeah. So this suffers from that same plot issue there where he doesn't have a string of heroic deeds behind him. He goes and fights the bad guy and ends up getting...
Epic fail.
Yeah, epic fail. Gets frozen, wakes up in modern day.
Oh, no.
Which I'm guessing is like 99 or 2000. I'm thinking
it's
like
that
99.
Recent.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't tell because he's in his 40s clothes, you know. But, you know, he does the whole thing, you know, fish out of water, talking like someone from the 40s, like some pulp novel or something.
Aw, but see, I wish there were more men from the 40s. That, well, gentlemen.
Glenn's almost in his 40s.
Hey, now.
Oh, no. Which means you're trailing behind.
Hey, I've got to bring it up because the last couple of episodes...
I've
been the old man
in
the room.
That's true. That's fair.
Now I'm back to take the mantle. Okay. The old mantle. So he fights this bad guy who, if you guys were into Guyver, there was the Zoonoids. The Zoonoids are humans that can... turn into monsters, and that's basically what the bad guys are in this. That's why he's the Monster Smasher, because he fights against monsters made by this evil villain whose name I can't remember, which is probably in the back of the box, but I won't take time to read it. Okay.
Yes, you did. Just a little bit.
It's really silly, really cheap, but there are lots of subtle references to, and some not so subtle references to other things. Like I said, the Captain America origin kind of thing. And there are some definite scenes that are just lifted straight out of Army of Darkness. Definitely Army of Darkness fan wrote this.
He gets a chainsaw?
No chainsaw. But
boomstick?
No. Just the interactions and some of the shots and things and the, like, a character popping up over his shoulder. I was like, I remember that scene exactly.
Aww.
You know? And he does make some references. Oh, actually, I think he makes an S-Mart reference. That was one of them.
Shop S-Mart.
Exactly. So,
aww.
I don't know. It's one thing that was funny that everybody noticed when we were watching it. I watched it over at Scott's the other day. And it's... is set in New York, and obviously since it's 99, 2000, you know, the towers are still there, and it's just so odd to see that. And I thought, you know, maybe that's one of the reasons you don't see this pop up. Well, of course, it's probably also that's low budget and not that great. But
That might have a little something to do with it.
Maybe. But it was kind of fun, and, you know, it wasn't 110% predictable. It was...
only 109.5.
Yeah. But, you know, if you're into genre, if you're into that sort of thing, I mean, I loved the 30s and 40s and stuff, and it was kind of neat to see the pulp hero modern day kind of thing going on. And some of the monsters are, like, straight up out of Power Rangers.
Yeah, I noticed the high-quality
rubber suits.
High-quality monsters on the front there.
Yeah, yeah, those are some of the better ones.
Oh.
Yeah, some of them are pretty bad.
Hey, nothing's going to top the Saddam Hussein looking hopping vampire.
Yeah. Okay, now, but are they... Okay, now here I am giving away too much credit. Are they that cheesy because he's from the 40s? Or are they cheesy because they're cheap?
I think they're cheesy because they're cheap.
Okay.
Some of the makeup's not too bad. But then some of them are just gigantic rubber appliances and things that are just real odd. I mean, this one guy looks like some big fish guy or
like,
something.
Was he driving a red sports car?
No.
Sorry.
Okay.
Was...
Bonus points to anyone who gets that.
Yeah. It was probably like the, you know, they're having a sale at Kmart on old Halloween masks and they just bought a bunch.
Yeah. Well, like one of the characters has like a lion face.
Ooh.
Not like a Beauty and the Beast TV show lion face,
but like a
great big foam rubber. I mean, not like a mascot for a ball team or something, but still a great big.
He's got a lion head.
Not
a lionish head.
A lion head. Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of bizarre.
Wow.
And you know that they're not really taking it totally seriously.
Right.
And, you know, I cut him some slack there. And I can tell that there were some people that were really into this sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
really into comics and pulp stuff, and I can tell that there were a lot of people that weren't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this is before really the days when the big comic book stuff was out and the big budget comic stuff, and people were really given the things a lot of credibility, I mm-hmm. think. I mean, before the big resurgence of it all.
Yeah, I was saying, because I think the Batman movies would have been out.
Well, yeah.
Around.
But they would have already gone south.
That's true. The 99, 2000, yeah. Because 89 for Batman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. The Keaton Batman, the first one, 89.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they'll have a 20th Blu-ray of that probably next year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah.
Actually, I just talked to Ryan,
mm-hmm.
my friend Ryan in New York, and he just bought the 1966 Batman on Blu-ray.
Yeah, I saw that.
I didn't know it was
awesome.
The cover is really neat. It's just black and like the Batmobile, and then it's got the red Batmobile bat on it.
Well, they just released that on regular DVD
mm-hmm.
as well, and I found it at Walmart for like $7.
Oh, hey.
So I went ahead and picked it up.
Can't be
that. Yeah, if the Blu-ray wasn't typical Blu-ray price, if it's like $20, might have picked it up. But
we'll catch
still
it on
like
sale.
$25, $29.
I think he caught it for $22.
I'm sure we'll find it. I'm sure
something
there'll
like
be
that,
a sale.
I'd probably go ahead and pick it up because
Deep Discount
might
have a sale at some point.
When I think of a Batman movie, that's a Batman movie.
Oh yeah, definitely. I want to know what kind of extras or whatever it's got.
Because
some days
you just can't get rid of a bomb.
Exactly.
They all show up on Pod Culture for guilty pleasures.
Oh. not well, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Was going to say
name
not
one
all
hit
of them.
Movie.
Innocent Blood.
Well, I'd like to think it was a hit.
It's a cult classic now.
No.
I recognize the cover and the title.
Okay. Well,
okay.
That's good.
Before I even knew what it was, I recognize it, so it can't be that bad. Or obscure.
Well, I'm really thinking about rewatching the 66 Batman and doing that for the next
guilty pleasure.
We might have to spring and get the Blu-ray then.
Makes sense. Because then you know,
the Batman
we could do
movie
the...
out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
We still have not seen, as of
not yet.
Recording of this,
forever.
The Dark Knight.
Not yet,
but I
soon.
Have heard nothing but good.
Oh, yeah.
I finally saw it Sunday.
Oh, yeah?
And,
wow.
Yeah, very cool.
What
I'm surprised it took you that long.
Me too.
Not counting the 66 Batman, which I will say I was not born yet, but this is the first Batman that I haven't seen opening night.
Oh.
Yeah, like, just because I've been that busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I knew I really wanted to see it. But luckily, it did so well, it was still on all the big screens everywhere, so
yes.
It's not like it's, you know, been relegated to
it probably
the back
still
theater.
Is in some
mm-hmm.
places.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't think there's anything coming along yet to top it.
Mm-mm.
No.
Which is good news.
But not in the foreseeable future, either.
It's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know of anything huge. The Bond movie, maybe.
I don't know.
But that's not till like, Christmas. So.
Oh, yeah.
So, I would have said a certain Star Trek movie around Christmas time.
I'm sorry.
But no, that's May.
I'm sorry.
2009.
Did it give you something to look forward to?
Yeah, but see, I could have been had the DVD and looking forward to the sequel by May 2009.
Not necessarily.
So, and come on, it's got Sylar.
And
Simon Begg.
Yeah.
And Ben Cross, who is just lovely. I don't care how old he gets.
Who's, is he the bad
Barnabas.
Guy?
What?
Was he Wendy Barnabas?
Well, yeah, but who is he in
this? He's Spock's dad.
Oh, okay.
He's Sark? Wow.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Which I could totally see. He's got a very angular kind of face.
Okay. Beginning back to Monster Smasher.
Monster
Smasher. He was a vampire.
Watch it if you dare. not a big push behind go get it, but you know it's a curiosity. It's
if
something
you find
you
it in your redneck
missed.
Feeding trough $5 bin at Walmart,
or if it's the kind of thing that you like.
Yeah, you might get it on Netflix or something. I don't know. I mean,
hey, if Robo Vampire is on Netflix,
is it?
Which it is.
It is. Wow.
Yes. Yeah, because I think we linked to it in one of the times that we talked about it.
I believe
it.
We may have.
Yeah, Robo Vampire, it's I think it's on one of those Asian double horror double feature discs. Because I remember, got to look, because you can see if they have it, and they have it. And what's scarier, Netflix is coming to the 360.
Yes, I heard that.
So you could have Robo Vampire on the 360 near you.
Maybe, if they have that on the streaming.
Yeah.
Unlikely, but it'd be cool.
You never know.
Oh,
if Conan O'Brien can bring back
the,
Dirty Dancing,
new feature
Brad
coming,
can bring back Robo Vampire.
That where you can watch a movie with your friends over Xbox Live.
Ooh,
that's awesome!
That is cool.
So in theory,
yeah,
you could watch a movie with your friends on Xbox Live, and with I'm sure enough of the parts that I have lying around here. Audio out.
Ooh.
And commentary.
Yeah.
And since we have a certain, you know, semi-mascot type character in the Great White North, so I'm sure we could probably get her on Xbox Live.
You called her a mascot?
She's a kid.
She's going to kick your ass.
She's in the Great White North right now.
Looking for the word ambassador.
Yeah.
That's it.
Shining guest
I just talked
star.
To her the other day. Actually,
how is she?
On Xbox Live. She's fine, although her complaint is her internet connection isn't really good, so she gets kicked off Xbox Live a lot.
Oh,
so
no.
So she's not happy
So you
about
might have
that.
A chance to beat her there, Brad.
Yeah.
No, because usually when someone kicks off, it freezes, and you get your ass handed to you by the rest of the people.
Okay. Yeah, but if she's the only one, you know, handing you your ass, you might be all right.
I know. That's why I'm scared about Soul Calibur.
It's pretty, though.
Now, Matthew Blackheart here shows him he's got a samurai sword, and he carries 245s.
Never used
awesome.
Them. Does he use them?
He uses them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he uses them. Not much, but he does use them. So. And he doesn't actually wear an American flag wrapped around him like on the cover, though.
That's what I was going to say, because looking at it, it doesn't look like... It's Punisher and Captain America. You got the whole
thing.
Grenades and guns and things going with the American flag behind him.
Wrong covers makes me think of when you saw, what was that zombie movie where it has
the vomiting
the
lenticular, zombie?
Yeah. And nowhere in the film does the zombie actually vomit.
Yeah, I figured they'd be going around vomiting on people and they'd become contaminated and go on and, you know, but no.
Or that would dissolve them like food.
Yeah. Like the fly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they'd be like zombie smoothies?
Yeah.
Okay.
Beef.
That's what's for dinner. All right. So find it if you can.
Watch it if you dare.
And hopefully you're not lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
Oh, it's cheesy.
It's very cheesy.
All right. Well, I guess that wraps it up for this guilty pleasure. And on with the rest of the show. Actually, we got to hop into the TARDIS, go back in time, so we can play the rest of the show.
If I'm getting in the TARDIS, I'm not getting out.
And we'll be back right after this.
If you go to Zahatun, you will die. If you go to www.babylonpodcast.com, you will find the only podcast dedicated to Babylon 5. You will hear in-depth commentary, insightful interviews, and unexpected surprises. the Babylon Podcast, our last best hope for B5 fans.
Well, faithful listeners, it is about that time.
Oh my goodness, yes it is.
It is past the witching hour.
The witches have gone to bed.
Yeah, pretty much. but yeah, it's time to wind up the show. Do we have any final thoughts? Any about comments about what we've done tonight recording-wise?
Go see movies and play games and watch TV and tell us about it.
And call in reviews, damn it.
Yeah, we like hearing you. Listen to us talk forever. We don't want to hear you.
Tell pod culture what you think.
Well, nicely. Or,
constructively.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with people disagree. You just tell them, people that come out and say, oh, you're an asshole, you suck.
I'm trying to get him to make me the PR person.
Okay. Right, we'll put that on
you
your
got the job.
We'll put that on your business card for DragonCon this year. You need to make some new ones.
Yeah. We'll give Glenn the pink ones like we did the other year.
Yeah, we did.
Well, he didn't want to pick a color, so we're like, okay. We can pick one for you.
So we pick pink.
Like the... I picked the... Well, right, it wasn't like pink. It was like...
fuchsia
volcano color. It was pretty.
Close, he didn't pretty
know
close
what,
pink.
He didn't know what he wanted. I wanted the blue ones and he wanted the green ones and the pink one was left.
It was light red.
It was lightish red. Looks like a puma. All right, red versus
light green. Red.
Oh, we should talk about that in the game segment. But yeah, you know, Dr. Horrible was awesome.
Yes.
JMS,
I'm so happy.
Not so much.
Yeah. Quite the opposite.
Well, Joss pissed us off too, but in a typical Joss way.
But
the love-hate Joss
thing. Yes. Yeah. What happened in the last bit of Dr. Horrible?
Boo.
That very last split-second scene.
I hope so. I hope we're just not
being
delusional.
It's making you think.
Delusional.
Did that really take place later, or did everything take place in his head?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then go back. And did anyone catch the Serenity in the window?
Yes, and the Fruity Odie Bar shirts.
Fruity Odie Bar t-shirts, and I'm sure there's stuff that we're missing.
Oh, yes.
Because
Act 3.
Yeah, we need to go and watch Act 3 again because we watched it streaming, so the window was much smaller than the iTunes version that I've got.
Yes.
So
David Fury.
Yeah.
We saw you.
Yeah, there were some Firefly and writers and Buffy and Angel writers
and
stuff.
Bridge. It was the Willow. It looked like the Willow.
It looked like
bridge.
From Once More with Feeling, the bridge that they walk across. I think it's in Act 2. It really, that little park scene seemed like
Don't
it was
you
the park.
Two fingers salute me, young man.
I didn't think about, think about that. But it seemed like it was the park where Will and Tara had that big musical number in Once More with Feeling.
It was awesome.
All right. Well, if no one has any final thoughts, we'll take it to the rookie. You anything?
No.
The rookie again.
I gotta say with the
stunt Glenn.
No,
I am stunt Glenn.
Pod culture intern.
No, they didn't play that song. No, I think it's fair that since he's consumed Jones Soda, he is honorary guest, not rookie.
Okay, all right. We'll promote him to guest host. Official guest host.
We tortured him with ham and pine tree soda. I think he warrants proper recognition.
Life. If he's going to be in the Farsex submission, then yeah, I guess he's guest host.
Officially.
I'm moving up in the world.
Yeah.
Moving on up
no.
to the east side.
No, it's far too late for the Jones.
And I am far too white. All right, we are out of here.
Cheers.
Have a good one.
And if you want to reach us here at Pod Culture Central, there are a few different ways, including these email addresses.
You can email any one of us at Brad, Glenn, or Christina at podculture.net.
And should they want to reach us the old-fashioned way?
That address would be Pod Culture, care of Chroma Entertainment, P.O. Box 4117, Jeffersonville, Indiana, 47131-4117.
You can also give us a call on the Pod Culture voicemail line, and that phone number is 1-206-338-3POD.
And there are also the official Pod Culture forums located at forums.podculture.net. And you'll find a link to that on our website, www.podculture.net.
So drop us a line, give us a call, or send us an MP3. Let us know how we're doing and what you'd like to hear on the show. We'd love to hear from you.
Pod Culture. Equal opportunity geekness.
Be seeing you.